Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and my guest is PGA Vice President Jim Richardson, who's expected to be elected president at the PGA's first ever virtual annual meeting on October 29th. Welcome, Jim, to the show.
Well, thanks, Ann, and thanks for having me on. Greatly appreciate it.
So you have some big shoes to fill. I know Susie Whaley has been the president of the PGA of America since November 2018, and she was the first woman president of the PGA of America, which was outstanding.
Yeah, Susie's done an incredible job, and obviously in a very tough situation this year in particular. You know, the COVID and the pandemic has affected really everyone. And our business and our industry, the PGA of America, was no different. So her leadership, along with others, you know, throughout this has been invaluable, I think, to our industry and to golf at large. So can't thank her enough. And as you said, there'll be big shoes to fill over the next 2 years.
Well, since you brought up the pandemic, I'll ask you about that. I personally think that golf has really flourished during the pandemic because it's a sport where one can naturally social distance. So, you know, everywhere you went, golf clubs were just booked with players, and more junior players came to the game to take lessons, and families were going out playing together. And what are your thoughts about it? Do you see this upward trend with participation?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, when this really affected everyone at the beginning of the year, you know, March and April, over 50% of the golf courses in the U.S. were closed. Some just getting ready to open with their seasons, but others out in the West and South, you know, had to close because of what was going on with COVID. But we've seen a big boom. I'm so proud of our members around the country that were involved in, you know, in a smart way and in a sensible way, being able to get golf open under different state and local guidelines. And as you said, the last 3 months have really been up around the country. Rounds of golf are up over 20% year over year for the same time frame. So courses have been busy, people have been coming out to play. And as you stated, you know, it's an activity and a sport that obviously can be played in a very sensible manner. And so working within that guidelines and working with health officials and local political officials to be able to do that, it's not only the exercise that people can get, but the mental aspect as well, too, of people that have been cooped up and dealing with all the different things that have come with this year, I think, to be able to get out. And it's an activity and a sport that you can play, you know, as a family. Grandparents can play with grandkids, and parents can play with their sons and daughters. So we've seen a big surge of new golfers this year. We've seen a big increase in the junior space and a big increase in first-time players. So it's been great to see, and that golf can be utilized in that way for people to be able to enjoy it with everything going on.
And do you think the game can maintain these newcomers to the game? I mean, can I know that the growth has been pretty extraordinary. How does golf, you know, maintain these new players?
Yeah, and I think it's the follow-up and the engagement, right? We have people that are interested in getting into the game, or maybe they were lapsed golfers and hadn't played in a number of years, but it's, you know, welcoming everyone to come out to play. The golf is welcoming people from every background, every walk of life. And then once we have them for the first time, it's reaching out to invite them back. It's getting their information, being able to reach out to them to contact them. If one of the parents comes out, it's letting them know that you've got beginner programs for their spouse to come out and play. They have kids. We've got junior programs that they can get started, and all kinds of activities, whether it be on the weekends or they do have to work. They're not working at home right now. You know, we've got programs and twilight events that you can come out to after work. So I think it's the invitation to come out to play and join the game, but it's also then the follow-up and the engagement to keep them coming out and experiencing golf as kind of that community social hub that's welcoming to all.
And so what do you see as your top priorities once you become the president of the PGA of America?
Well, you know, the mission of our association hasn't changed in over 100 years, which is to elevate and advance our PGA members and to grow the game. So in serving our members, it's about trying to give them as many resources as possible. So We have an education department and a career services department. So it's looking at making sure that we're offering the most relevant education to our members to stay on the forefront and the cutting edge on whatever is going on in golf, whether that be teaching and coaching, whether that be through tournament activities, whether that be through merchandising golf shops and the offerings to customers. But then it's about growing the game. And so again, it's we've had great programs like PGA Junior League Golf and Drive, Chip, and Putt that have been very successful in getting juniors introduced to the game. But it's also those first-time adult golfers and welcoming them and bringing them out. So it's really concentrating on making sure we provide as many resources as possible to our members and then helping them continue to grow the game through junior programs and beginner programs around the country.
And for those in the audience who may not know, the PGA of America is made up of nearly 29,000 PGA professionals who teach all ability levels. And in addition to the pros, you have the PGA hosting the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, the Senior PGA Championship, the Women's PGA Championship. So you have a lot on your plate, right?
Yeah, we do. We're really association about our members, but also we have a business side. And as you stated, Anne, those large televised events are some of our largest and biggest assets. And we've got a great lineup next year for those that are golf fans and love watching golf on TV or coming out and hopefully being able to spectate in person next year after we get past some of this. But we go to some of the best facilities around the world, around the country. Next year is no different, as you said. The PGA Championship will be played in May at the Ocean Course at Kiwa Island, at the resort there, which is an iconic resort course in the Carolinas. The Senior PGA Championship is at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which has hosted several previous championships. Our Women's KPMG PGA Championship is at the Atlanta Athletic Club. And then, as you stated, the Ryder Cup will kind of end our championship year next fall in September at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. So great venues to showcase the best players in the world and great venues for people to be able to watch the action or come out in person.
And, you know, speaking of Whistling Straits, I understand that you served as the GM and the director of golf for the Kohler Company. And so a lot of time at Whistling Straits.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. My family and I spent 11 years there. So it's a special place, great staff of individuals that are really passionate about the game. And, the state of Wisconsin is just a great golf state in general. So I'll be really looking forward to going back there and seeing a lot of friends that we stay in touch with and a lot of people in the golf industry in that area. So I know the golf course pretty well. Be interesting to see how the pros are playing it under that type of pressure for the Ryder Cup, but really looking forward to that event next fall.
Yeah, I know that the Ryder Cup was supposed to have been played at Whistling Straits this fall, but obviously it was postponed until next September 21st to the 26th at Whistling Straits. And can you talk about the course a little bit? I remember covering it at the PGA Championship back in, I think it was 2015, and just a stunning layout. It was a bit tricky, for spectators to get around, but I think it should provide an excellent test for the Ryder Cup teams.
Yeah, I actually think it's a better match play golf course than stroke play. And that time of year, just a little bit later, the PGAs that were played there previously in 2004, 10, and 15 were all played in August. And even that six-week shift to the end of September, typically it's windier that time of year coming off of Lake Michigan. So I think with eight holes on the golf course that butt up against Lake Michigan, and then Kerry Haig, who's our chief championship officer, who's one of the best at setting up championship courses, there's a lot of different options you have with risk-reward holes on that golf course. Some of you may not set up that way for a stroke play event, but in match play, it's really going to be interesting and fun to see. Kerry can and Captain Steve Stricker could set it up where all the par fives are reachable in two, or they could really push it where almost none of them are reachable. There's two or three holes you can make drivable par fours. There's some interesting par threes that you can make really, really challenging. Or you can set the tees and the pins up where you might actually see a hole-in-one during a Ryder Cup. So many different options, but that golf course, as you said, you kind of have the natural heather. So if you get the driver a little crooked, you can really get in some trouble. You have to deal with the elements off of Lake Michigan and the wind conditions. And at the end of September in Wisconsin, It could be 80 degrees or we could have a snow flurry. So it could be very interesting next year for the Ryder Cup.
And we have a whole other year to get excited about it, right?
Yeah, it's, with the players now back playing, pretty much a regular schedule, there's so many good players on both sides of the pond, and I think so many great young players as well too that we're really going to see a great championship next year when you're seeing what Bryson DeChambeau is doing right now and some of the younger players with Justin Thomas and Ricky Fowler on the U.S. side and seeing the strength even of the Europeans with the way that Rory McIlroy is playing and Jon Rahm and others. So that's become such a great global sporting event. And I think the run-up for next year, the extra year, should make it that much more exciting.
And Jim, when you look at the year in golf, I mean, Colin Morikawa winning the PGA Championship in San Francisco at such a young age, he was just phenomenal. And then Bryson DeChambeau, as you mentioned, winning the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. And then you had on the women's side, Kim Se-young winning with a record low 14 under after she shot a, what, a 63 in the final round at the Women's PGA Championship. So it's been, for a crazy year with the pandemic, we've had some pretty exciting finishes in golf.
No question about it. TV ratings have been strong as well. I think there's a lot of golf fans that are enjoying it. As you said, I happened to be at the KPMG that weekend, and that round of 63 on the final day was just a phenomenal, phenomenal round of golf. I walked that golf course and played Aronimink and sure didn't see a 63 that someone would be able to shoot on Sunday. So, as you said, there's been some great golf, some great young talents, some new faces, and I think golf is in a really good position to thrive coming out of this. We're seeing that on local golf courses around the country. We're seeing that in ratings and interest from the televised championships. We just got to keep the momentum going as we head into the winter in parts of the U.S., and we'll have a really strong spring as we get out of this, next March and April.
And what do you think, aside from the pandemic, what do you think are will be the biggest issues in golf that you as president will have to deal with, you and your team?
Well, I think it's issues that we've been really kind of dealing with the last few years, where it's, it's protecting our biggest assets like the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup. And that's really what we get the majority of our revenue from. And it's how can we utilize that to give back to the game and back to our 29,000 members so that, again, we can continue to grow the game. We want to make sure that, golf is seen and operates as welcoming to everyone. We need to bring more people in from diverse backgrounds and introduce them to the game. We need to get more juniors from different backgrounds involved in the game. If we get the kids involved in enjoying all the things that golf represents and life lessons that it teaches someone, you're going to get the families. And then, you have people that are golfers for life. I love telling the story. Last holidays, man, I was visiting family in Florida. My 88-year-old father, one of my brothers and I in our 50s, and my 11-year-old nephew all played golf together. And the excitement of seeing grandfather and grandson play, and they could all enjoy it at the same time. Golf's a very unique sport in the fact that people of all ages can enjoy it together, and people of all skill levels can enjoy it together. There's just not that many opportunities to take advantage of a situation like that. We just have
Oh,
to tell
absolutely.
that story to more people, and we have to get that out there to more people and join it and join the game together.
Yeah, there's no better place to bond with your friends and family than on a golf course, that's for sure. Well, the PGA Show, I know, is in Orlando every January, and that is a huge, perhaps the biggest gathering of those in the golf industry. And I just read that the show will be all virtual in 2021. What was your reaction to that, and how do you think that will work exactly, Jim?
Yeah, and we've been talking about that for some time now, obviously, and just trying to take everything into effect with people traveling to what is typically our largest business gathering for the golf industry. Talking to manufacturers, talking to those that have attended over the last several years, to some of the top merchandisers and buyers around the country, really getting all the stakeholders involved in the decision. So we did decide to go virtual because of some of the concerns, but working with our partners to you really prioritize the health and well-being of the entire golf community. But we are going to go virtual, still offer several ongoing continuing education sessions, Several of our exhibitors will have virtual showrooms, different special events, and industry networking opportunities. So we're going to do as much as we can virtually as we normally do face-to-face. You know, typically, we have one of our largest teaching and coaching summits at the same time frame, and that will be virtual as well, too. So it'll be different, and as we kind of make adjustments, as most people have had to do this year, but we think we're still going to be able to offer very robust offerings to those that normally would attend. And then we're very hopeful, obviously, we can all meet up face-to-face in 2022.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's still going to, you know, go on. And everybody's had to pivot. That's been like the famous word in the last couple of months, pivoting. And it seems like a virtual PGA show is a good way to go. And hopefully it will work out great. How's your golf game, Jim?
It ebbs and flows, Ed, but you know, I love to play. It's very fortunate. Was never at a tour level, but I competed on the collegiate level, and I've got a group of friends, other PGA members in the area that I live in, Arizona, that try to get together whenever we can. So I try to play every chance I get. I actually have a tee time scheduled for this Saturday, so I'm getting out again. And my wife played growing up and played on her high school team, and both sets of our parents play, so we're kind of a golfing nut family, and my game's not too bad right now, so it's enjoyable. It's not so much a competitive game for me as much anymore as it is more about the camaraderie and the enjoyment of playing with friends and family.
Will you continue with Troon Golf? Is that what you're doing now, Senior VP of Operations for Troon?
Yes. So the PGA role is a volunteer position. So we have our association is led by an elected board of PGA members, along with elected officers that really kind of donate and give of their time. And then we have a staff of full-time employees that obviously are working day-to-day on kind of the direction that the board sets. So we've got a phenomenal staff, you know, led by our CEO, Seth Waugh, and then our board members from around the country donating their time. So my day job with Troon Golf will stay the same. You know, we have almost 500 golf courses around the world that we're involved with, and we'll continue to work with those owners and boards of those clubs and the staff to try to make sure that golf continues to thrive on our day-to-day side. And it's kind of a dual role trying to do the same, which is just trying to make sure on both accounts, both with Troon as well as the PGA of America, that we continue to, you know, introduce more people to the game and continue to grow the game and give more opportunities for people to get involved in the game.
And where are you based, Jim?
Our corporate headquarters is based in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's where I reside. We have some regional offices throughout the country, as well as internationally some offices as well, to try to help partner and support our golf courses around the country and around the world. But I'm fortunate enough to live in Arizona now, where we have sunshine pretty much every day and an opportunity to play golf quite a bit throughout the year.
I love desert golf, and I used to go out there every year to play in Alice Cooper's celebrity golf tournament. So when you see Alice Cooper and you know what a passionate golfer he is, please tell him I say hello, okay?
I will, absolutely. So well, we have to get you back out here again then if you haven't played in that or been out here in a while.
Yeah, I'd love it there. So, well, continued success, and really enjoyed catching you. I know you're expected to be elected president at the PGA's first ever virtual annual meeting coming up shortly. So good luck with all of that. And I look forward to talking to you many times during your presidency.
Well, thank you, Ann. Thanks for having me on, and greatly appreciate all you do to promote the game of golf and try to grow it through all your avenues and everything that you're involved with. So thanks for having me on, and thanks for all that you do to promote the game of golf.
Thank you, Jim. My pleasure.